All right, well, good morning and welcome, and let me invite you to stand and turn to your neighbor, your neighbors, and say, you are in the right place at the right time. We are going to turn to 1 John today, 1 John chapter 4. If you're grabbing a pew Bible, page 863, although good news, partway through you'll be able to turn the page to 864. Words, of course, will be on the screen behind me. We are reading chapter 4, verses 7 through 21, and I am going to ask if there is anyone who would like to, willing to, come up to this microphone up here and read the text for us this morning. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Phil will do it. All right. Thank you, Phil. And then we'll pray and get to work.
Okay, I'm reading this from the New English, so it's going to sound a little different, but I think it's. Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But the unloving know nothing of God. For God is love, and his love was disclosed to us in this, that he sent his only Son into the world to bring us life. The love I speak of is not our love for God, but the love God showed to us in sending his Son as a remedy for our sin. If God thus loved us, dear friends, we in turn are bound to love one another. Though God has never been seen by any man, God himself dwells in us if we love one another. His love is brought to perfection within us. Here's the proof that we dwell in him and he dwells in us. He has imparted his Spirit to us. Moreover, we have seen for ourselves and we attest that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And if a man acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, dwells in him, and he dwells in God, thus we have come to know and believe the love which God has for us. God is love. He who dwells in love is dwelling in God, and God in him. This is for us the perfection of love, to have confidence on the day of judgment. And thus we can have, because even in this world, we are as he is. There is no room for fear in love. Perfect love actually banishes fear, for the fear brings with it the pains of judgment. And anyone who is afraid has not attained to love in its perfection. We love because he loved us first. But if a man says, I love God, while acting in hate to his brother, he's a liar. If he does not love the brother whom he has seen, it cannot be true that he loves God whom he has not seen. And indeed, this command comes to us from Christ himself, that he who loves God must also love his brother and sister. Anyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is a child of God.
Thank you, Phil. Let's take a moment and pray together. God, as we gather this day, grateful for your presence here with us and within us, and as we now turn to your word and to your words, Lord, would you help us to listen and to receive? As always, be in and over and under and all through my words that I would speak your heart today. We commit this into your care, for your purpose and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. This is from the contemporary poet David White. Now, looking through the slanting light of the morning window toward the mountain presence of everything that can be, what urgency calls you to your one love? What shape waits in the seed of you to grow and spread its branches against a future sky? And that is the question that meets us today, asking what shape is within you, waiting to grow and to spread its branches. And we can think back last week. John tells us there is a world of voices competing for our attention, demanding to be noticed, to be heard. Each voice influencing us toward a particular way of doing life, shaping who we are and who we are becoming. Which is why, again last week, John says, listen carefully, even differently. He says, because there is one voice more trustworthy than all the others. And today, he names that voice. That voice, he says, is the voice of love. A love that speaks not with words or speech, but with action and in truth. Meaning it shows up in the sort of ordinary, everyday moments, in very real, tangible, practical ways. In very real, tangible, practical offerings of care and compassion. Which is why today he writes, dear friends, again, this is a term of endearment, this is a letter of love. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Noting he begins here, not with us, but with God. For love comes from God. In other words, love begins with God. Everyone who loves has been born of God, who knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Not that God is loving, he is. Not that God does loving things, he does. But God is love. Meaning not something you create, but something you receive. Forming you, shaping you. Poetically speaking, the seed of you to grow and to spread. God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. This is how that love is made visible. John writes, he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Again, it begins with God, right? He loved not something we create, but something we receive. He loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. In other words, again, love does not begin with us, but with God. Before you ever reached for God, God was already reaching for you. Before you ever got it right, before you ever figured it all out, before you even had a clue, You were loved. You are loved. And in one sense, if there's nothing else that we get from today, it's just that. Right? You are loved. I think a good mantra for the week would just be to wake each morning and say, I am loved. Every hour to say, I am loved. Right? Every meal, I am loved. Every conversation, I am loved. Make that your mantra this week. If nothing else, understand This love that begins with God flows to you. You are loved. Dear friends, since God so loved us, there it is again. Dear friends, since God so loved us, right? Because of the love received, he says we also ought to love one another. Noting that word ought here comes from ophelo in the Greek. It does mean at its core, it means to owe or to be indebted to or to be obligated toward. And with that, I don't know about you, but with that, it feels like a lot of pressure. It almost feels like this is one of those, well, you better or else. But what we want to get is that contextually here, this is less because you have to, and more because this is what love is. This is what love is, right? Not something that is forced, but something that flows. In other words, this is what love looks like when it takes shape in you. It moves. It reaches. It gives. Poetically, it grows and it spreads its branches. He goes on, no one, verse 12, has ever seen God. What is a rhetorical way of kind of asking, how is God seen? But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. In other words, that love that begins with God, that you receive, that gives shape to your life, is made visible in the way you love one another. Not ideas, not arguments, not even really words or speech, but with actions and in truth. In truth, this is the shape of love, a love that grows and spreads its branches. We love one another, right? From the seed of God's love within you, made complete from telos, that means the fulfillment of. To live into the purpose, to live into our purpose. And then notice John, he kind of doubles down, almost like, listen up, everything that I've just been saying, just make sure you don't miss this, right? The love, this love, he says, in essence, it is something we live in, and it is something that lives in us. And then he writes, again, verse 16, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete. This is how love finds its fulfillment. This is how love lives into its purpose among us, how it takes shape in us and through us, so that we have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, meaning here and now, right, as a people who are becoming like Jesus. And then it's interesting because John names what often gets in the way, what often can kind of trip us up. He says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out or drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And so John here, right, he names the fear. And again, we can think back to all of those voices, the inner voice as well as the voices out there, accusing, pressing in, questioning, right, revealing those places of fear in us, the fear that I'm not enough, the fear that I don't measure up, the fear that I don't have it all figured out. What about the fear of being exposed or the fear of being rejected? And notice here, interesting, John says he names the fear, and then straight away he takes us back. He says we love because he first loved us. In other words, when the fear is pressing in, When all those voices get loudest, he doesn't say try harder, do better. He says remember. Remember where love begins, with God, and you are loved. You are loved, not because you got it right, not because you figured it all out, not because you proved something, right? But because that is who God is. God is love. And with that, then really, John kind of comes full circle. That love from God made visible in the way we love one another. The voice of love giving shape in you, in the seed of you, to grow and to spread your branches. And so with that, I want to invite us to, again, before the worship team comes up, I want to invite us to sit and to just kind of stay in this stillness of this space for a few more minutes. Sit in the shaping of love together. What would it look like to begin each moment in God's love? What would it look like to begin each moment in God's love? Right, each day, each hour, maybe each conversation, each encounter. What if we started each moment there? Right, in the midst of God's love, receiving. Where is God inviting me to receive again His love for me? Where is God inviting me to receive again His love for me? Maybe it's that part of me that I've hidden away. Maybe it's that part of me that's embarrassed or ashamed. A part of me that's afraid of being rejected, found out, self-conscious. Maybe another way to name that is to ask, what fear keeps me from receiving God's love today? And whatever that might be for you, what would it look like to let that place in me be held in love? And then we can think about our relationships and consider, how is God's love shaping how I love others? How is God's love shaping how I love others? What one small step will I take to live the shape of love today? What one small step will I take to live the shape of love today? And then to close, poetically speaking again, in what way is God inviting me to let love grow and spread its branches? In what way is God inviting me to let love, the love in me, the love within me, the seed within me, to grow and spread its branches? Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God.